The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went on to say, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters the sheep. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. This Sunday is called Good Shepherd Sunday. Attached to that gospel reading about Jesus who proclaims that he is the good shepherd and he lays down his life for his sheep. Keep in mind that your greatest teacher in life is not the one to whom you listen the most. Your greatest teacher in life is the one who listens to you. This is the one who becomes your teacher about understanding and about compassion, about openness. The one who listens to you the most is your greatest teacher. So let me look at this in terms of the Good Shepherd. I have often wondered myself, the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. So as a pastor, how do I define my vocation? I have wondered about that over many, many years. And I have wondered, is my vocation to seek the holiness of perfection? Or perhaps my vocation is to seek the holiness of being fully human, to belong to humanity, to somehow feel and touch and experience the fullness of humanity in the people of God, to know what it means to need forgiveness, to belong to misunderstanding, to somehow share with the people of God the human experience of failure, of struggling with sin, of separation or misunderstanding, to share the human experience of joy and fulfillment and meaning in life, to somehow belong to the pains and the tears and the struggles of the people of God, and in that experience, to believe that you will find holiness in life. That must be the vocation of the pastor, to somehow be attached in a human experience to the people of God in their own journey of life, to carry the burdens, to belong to the crosses, to sing the songs of good times, to celebrate the good times. But somehow the pastor must somehow find holiness of life in the faith of the people and in the journey he will find in the lives of the people of God. Pope Francis speaks about this when he says, in a very insightful metaphor, the shepherd must have the smell of the sheep, must somehow belong to the sheep. The true shepherd is the one who is attached to the sheep. Keep that in mind. It belongs to each and every one of us in some manner. In 1988, there was a very interesting film called City of Angels. A fascinating story, a romantic love story. And the story is about Seth, who is an angel, played by Nicolas Cage. And he operates in the Los Angeles area, this angel. And his mission is to accompany people who are dying and to lead them into the afterlife, to assure them, to be their companion in the journey from this life into the next life. So he tends to spend his time around hospitals. And on one occasion, Seth, the angel, has this encounter in a hospital with Dr. Maggie Rice, played by Meghan Ryan. It's a beautiful young woman, Meghan Ryan. And he sees her compassion, and he sees her dedication, he sees her beauty. He actually can appear in human form, so he appears in human form to speak with her. She's not impressed. So something about him that she thinks is a little bit weird. But he somehow becomes fascinated with Dr. Rice, so much so that he falls in love with her. The angel falls in love with the doctor. And now he has a big decision to make. He feels there's something missing from his life. The human experience of love, the experience of belonging, the experience of attachment. There's something about the human experience that somehow he's missing. So he comes to make a big decision in his life. He can remain an angel and be immortal, never have to suffer, never struggle in life, the immortality of the angel, or he can become human. He has a choice. And become human, he will experience all of the gifts and the human experience of love and belonging and fulfillment. So he decides to renounce immortality and become human. So he becomes human, and he becomes very attached to Meg Ryan. So much so, he is desperately in love with her. She doesn't respond to him very well, but he pursues her. He is very determined. And in due time, he experiences with Meghan Ryan, with this doctor, the ecstasy of love, but also the agony of loss. For very shortly in their relationship, she is killed in an automobile accident. So now he has to go through this profound experience of grief and loss. So he takes on the whole human experience, but he does not regret that. He said, this is what it means to have a full life. You experience the ecstasy of being loved, but the agony of having a cross to bear, the agony of loss, the agony of separation. And the teaching is that this is the place in the human experience. This is the place where we meet the true God. This is the place where incarnation, God becomes human to us, and somehow the venue in which we will encounter the humanity of God's presence in Jesus Christ is in the human experience. And he believes this, and he does not regret the fact that he gave up immortality and he becomes fully human. The teaching is that's the meeting place. You don't have to get into perfection. You just have to find the holiness of being fully human. Now, we're all familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but for those who will follow him, they will experience redemption. Therefore, when you look at the theology of incarnation, of God's presence among us, God did not come into the world in Jesus Christ because we were bad. God came into the world to show us that we were good, that we are made in the image of God. And redemption and conversion will happen when we have an experience in all our humanity of God's infinite love for us. Not when we're perfect. Not when we're sinless. But in our broken humanity, when we experience the touch of God's infinite love, that's when conversion happens. That's the whole theology of incarnation, of God's presence and God's visitation and God's belonging to us in our humanity, taking on the human experience of joy, of healing, of forgiveness, of compassion, but also the human experience of carrying the cross, belonging to us in joy and in sorrow. This is where God is revealed to us in everyday life, in your life, in my life. In the recent past, this young man came to see me in his early 40s, married with 3 children, struggling with the addiction of alcohol. He's an alcoholic, and he had gone through rehab, and now he collapsed again. He lost his family, he lost his wife, he lost his job. He was bereft. He lost hope. And he sat in a conference room over in our center here, and his tears became my tears. He told me the story of his life, going through this incredible crisis in his life. He is worthless. He's a failure. His whole life is a chaos. His pain became my pain. His struggle somehow touched me and became my struggle. And I listened to him for a long time. And we both understood that he needs professional care. He needs to go back into detox, go back into a program. He needs professional care. It's an illness he's dealing with. There is no shame, it's an illness. But he needed more than that. He needed an experience of the shepherd. He needed somebody to show him that in God's presence, he has worth. He's precious in God's presence. That God's love surrounds him. That he must draw strength from the power of Jesus Christ in his life. In addition to his professional care, he needs the shepherd. He needs to read the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, or in chapter 15 in Luke, where it tells us about the shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one gets lost, and he leaves the 99, and he goes in search of the one who is lost. And when he finds the one who is lost, He carries this one back to the fold, and there is more rejoicing over the one who was lost and is found than over the 99 who had no need of redemption. Wow. We all need to read this beautiful story that Jesus tells about how God touches our lives. You'll find it in chapter 18 in Matthew. If you read on in chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke, you'll find the story of the prodigal son. This extraordinary sense that it's very easy to miss. The redemption, the incarnation, the Jesus Christ among us, is to assure us of something that we might miss. Our essential goodness. We are blessed people, we are chosen people, we are broken, but we're good. We're all made in the image of God. And wherever you find in a church that says you don't belong and you don't qualify, you don't fit in, you don't measure up, you don't meet the standards, go back and listen to the incarnation. Listen to the voice of the shepherd that says, "You are my sheep. For you, I will lay down my life." How much more can I show you how precious you are in the eyes of God? No matter your brokenness, no matter the complications of your life, wherever you find yourself in life, capture in a moment of great faith the sense of God's infinite love for you, the uniqueness. Each person made in the image of the Creator. That's the meaning of the Good Shepherd. It's the meaning of a pastor that somehow is inspired not by the perfection of people, but by their humanity. Wow. And how we somehow enrich one another when we listen. We become the great teachers when we listen, not just to the words, but listen to the human experience. And it's in the human experience that God appears. And the incarnation, God becoming human, somehow makes sense to us. Amen.